Most of us would have remembered, if we attended Sunday school, the story of Jonah and the whale. And because for most of us, it was many, many years ago, and for some of us, many, many, many years ago, we're going to refresh our memories by looking at the prophet. I ask you to open your Bibles at Jonah chapter 1. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, and then Jonah, the fifth minor prophet. Now, Jonah in Hebrew means dove. That's what the prophet's name means. He was the son of Amittai, and he prophesied during the reign of Jeroboam II, approximately 750 years before Christ. And God says to Jonah, "Go to the great city Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." And we have a very blurred image of where Nineveh is, and we'll try and sharpen the image. Here we have the Great Sea, or the Mediterranean. Down here, the land of Israel, Jerusalem, the Dead Sea. Further up, Sea of Galilee, Damascus. This yellow area here is called the Fertile Crescent. Up at the top here we have the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea, and the two great rivers, the Euphrates and the Tigris. Now just on the Tigris up here is the city of Nineveh. It was a great city with a walking distance of 3 days across it. It had a population of 120,000, a circumference, we are told by the archaeologists, of approximately 13 kilometers. And much later in its history, it became the capital of the Assyrian Empire. And as such, Nineveh became the city of bloodshed, as the Assyrians waged many wars and employed brutal methods in killing their captured warriors. The principal deity of Nineveh was the goddess of love and war, Ishtar. And so, reluctant to do God's bidding, Jonah aboard a ship on Joppa. Joppa's down here near Jerusalem. So he boards the ship at Joppa on its way to Tarshish. And verse 4 of Jonah chapter 1. The Lord responds. He sends a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was thought to be broken. And while the storm is raging, where was Jonah? Well, Jonah was fast asleep in the hull of the ship. Verse 6, he's awakened by the shipmaster. "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God." But the storm does not abate. And so the sailors proceed to cast lots, believing that someone on board the ship had caused God to be angry, as manifested in the tempest. And the lot fell upon Jonah. Verse 8. And they said unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou?" And he said unto them, "I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." And when they inquire of him what to do about their perilous situation, Jonah says to them in verse 12, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Now after trying to row against the storm for some time to spare Jonah's life, the sailors finally realized that it was in vain, and so they give in to Jonah's advice. Verse 15. And so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now the fish was not a whale. It was a big fish. And this fish was especially created by God for the occasion. What kind of fish it is, we are not told. But it was a big fish. And so Jonah prays to God out of the fish's belly, and God responds to Jonah's prayer by speaking to the fish, chapter 2 and at verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now you can see that that is quite a distance. He traveled from somewhere along this coast here to Nineveh. Quite a distance. Verse 3, Jonah arose, went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now I'd like you just to remember that statement that Jonah makes, and we're going to be referring to it later on. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. In verse 5, And so the Gentiles repented at the preaching of Jonah. So the people believed God, and they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. Even the king, he arose from his throne, verse 6, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout all of Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one of them from his evil way and from violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away his fierce anger, that we perish not? And see how God responds to their repentance. Verse 10. And God saw their works, that they had turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. And we'll take it up to there. Now the question that we have to ask ourselves is, what or where is the sign of the prophet Jonah? We've read together chapter 1, part of chapter 2, and the whole of chapter 3, because the word sign doesn't appear. And for the answer, we're going to turn to the New Testament and Matthew chapter 12, please. Now many people regard the story of Jonah and the fish as being just a mythical story. Many people today in the scientific world believe that it is a mythical story, much the same as the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, much the same as the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah with fire from heaven, much the same as Noah's ark and the flood. We see these ridiculous little cartoons of a fat, tubby little ark with an old man with a white beard and two or three, usually giraffes or something like that, peering out. And it becomes a kind of comical situation. People portray these stories as being mythical, as being comical. Now, with respect, friends, whether you believe these stories to be mythical or whether you do not, is not really that important. What is important is that Jesus Christ believed that all these stories were 100% fact. And not only that, he refers to each of them individually during his ministry and draws very powerful conclusions from Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, from the flood, from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and from the prophet Jonah. as we shall see. Now Jesus mentions specifically the sign of the prophet Jonah three times during his ministry, and he alludes to it in type many times. Matthew chapter 12 and at verse 38. Now each time Jesus mentions the sign of the prophet Jonah specifically, he has a different audience and he mentions it in a different place. Now we find that here Jesus is in the synagogue. He has just cured a man with a withered hand. He has healed a man of blindness and dumbness. He has then been accused of doing these things in the name of Beelzebub, the prince of the demons. And now the religious leaders have the audacity to ask a sign. Verse 38, then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Notice those words carefully. It is an evil and adulterous generation that seeketh after a sign. And we find that human nature hasn't changed that much over the years, has it? How many people today seek a sign? How many people today go to revival meetings to see a sign, to experience a miracle, to watch a healing? It was much the same in Jesus' day. They wanted him to bring fire down from heaven, and they wanted God to be justified in the miraculous. They couldn't see that God was in the sunrise. They could not see that God was in the sparrow in the tree, or in the smile of a child. They wanted a miracle. They wanted a sign. And so, the following chapters, after the sign of the prophet Jonah is mentioned in Matthew's record, the following chapters, Jesus is then to give his parables of the sower that went out to sow, and the wheat and the tares and the grain of mustard seed. Parables that all related to the sovereignty of God Almighty and his kingdom upon the earth. Time and time again, Jesus draws our attention to the fact that God is everywhere. He is operative everywhere. Not a sparrow falls to the ground, said Jesus, without your Father knowing it. Every hair on your head is numbered. An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, verse 39, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. Verse 40, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. Now the whale there is, sounds like I'm checkmate, but not really, because the Greek word there is in actual fact a sea monster. It shouldn't be rendered whale at all. In fact, the Revised Version renders it sea monster, and it's a better translation to follow. So as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the sea monster's belly, or the big fish's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now let's just think about that for a moment. What a profound lesson. Jesus is in fact spelling it out for them. He is saying that what happened to Jonah was in fact a prophecy of what was about to happen to himself. As Jonah was rejected, thrown overboard, and to all intents and purposes killed, so Jesus Christ was to be rejected, to be taken out of the city, and to be put to death. As Jonah remained in his watery grave for 3 days and for three nights, so the Son of Man was to remain in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea for 3 days and three nights. As Jonah was delivered from death on the third day, so Jesus was to be raised from the dead, to die no more, to be the first fruits of them that slept on the third day. Jesus could only be sure of his own resurrection from the grave because of the principle that was so indelibly inscribed in the parchments of the Old Testament, especially here in the prophet Jonah, the sign of the prophet Jonah. So notice the first point. The first point to notice is that principally the sign of the prophet Jonah was the sign of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the first point to notice. The second point to notice is that the sign was principally for Jesus. And I say this because Jesus was the only one that understood it, because many times in the Gospels we find Jesus speaking to the disciples of his death and they understood it not. So primarily Jesus was the only one that understood it, and therefore he was the only one that believed it. So primarily the sign of the prophet Jonah was a sign to Jesus of his own resurrection from the dead. The third point to notice is that although the sign referred to the resurrection of Jesus, it also referred to those events surrounding the resurrection of Jesus. For how was he to be resurrected if he was not dead? And if he was to die, of necessity it meant that his people, the Jews, were going to reject him. And if the Jews were to reject him, what of the Gentiles? Notice how that verse in Matthew 12 continues. Matthew 12 and at verse 41. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The men of Nineveh were Gentiles. The Gentiles, according to the Jews, were often called dogs. But look at what Jesus is saying to the Jews of his day. He is saying that the Ninevites, the Gentiles, shall rise up in judgment with this generation. Notice those words carefully. With this generation. In other words, the Gentiles that died some 750 years before Jesus was born will be raised from the dead at the same time as the Jews to whom he was speaking. Look at that verse again. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Notice also that those words, the Gentiles shall condemn the Jews. See what happens at the end of that verse? And shall condemn it. The Gentiles were going to condemn the Jews at the resurrection. How their hearts must have cut them to the quick. And the reason for their condemnation and the Gentile exaltation, simply on the basis of repentance, because they, the Gentiles, repented at the preaching of Jonah. Now the fourth point that we must notice is that the sign of the prophet Jonah was also a sign of God's rejection of the Jews because of their lack of faith, and God's acceptance of the Gentiles because of their belief and their repentance. Let's look at that verse once more to make sure that our interpretation is correct. Matthew 12 and at verse 41. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment, that's the Gentiles, with this generation, that's the Jews, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. And so we see then that the sign of the prophet Jonah was also a sign of the events that surrounded the resurrection of Jesus. It was also a sign of Jewish leaders' rejection and the Gentile repentance. We've looked at the first occasion where Jesus speaks directly of the sign of the prophet Jonah, and now we'll move on to the second. It's in Matthew 16 and the first four verses. Now, for those of you who have a marginal reference, you'll notice that the parallel occasion occurs in Mark chapter 8 and at verse 11. But seeing that we're in Matthew, we might as well take this occasion from Matthew. Matthew chapter 16 and at verse 1. This time, Jesus is in the area of Magdala. He has just fed 4,000 men, besides women and children, with 7 loaves and a few fishes. This time he speaks to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees, as opposed to the first time when he spoke to the scribes and the Pharisees. Verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say that it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. So again he tells us that a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Notice in verse 1, the Pharisees and Sadducees tempted him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Now those are the two points that are omitted in Matthew's record. It is highly probable that they had not witnessed the sign from heaven in the preceding verses, in the miraculous feeding of the multitude with the 7 loaves and few fishes. The sign from heaven in that particular occasion was for the people that had tried to follow Jesus. In fact, they'd been trying so hard that they'd spent 3 days following Jesus with nothing to eat. And that is why he feeds them with the loaves and the fishes. And so it is with us, my friends. We have to ask ourselves the question, have we come to criticize? Have we come to find fault? Have we come to tempt? Or have we come to seek and to find? Because if our attitude to Jesus is in any way hypocritical and our hearts are hard, we may be able to discern the face of the sky. We may see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. We may see the sign of the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. But if we do, it'll be too late, because he'll be taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. And so we find that there are two signs. There's the sign of the prophet Jonah, which is the sign for us today. It is the sign for now. It is the sign of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the sign for us, if we have hearts to believe and minds to perceive. But the sign of the coming of the Son of Man in power and great glory, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that'll be for the world. And so we find that we have two signs. A sign for the believer, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the sign of the prophet Jonah, and then the sign for the world, the coming of the Son of Man, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come then to the third occasion, where Jesus speaks of the sign of the prophet Jonah, this time Luke chapter 11. Once again we find that the circumstances are completely different. It's much later during the Lord's ministry, and this time he speaks to the people. Not speaking to the scribes and Pharisees, or to the Sadducees, he is speaking to the people. Luke 11 and at verse 29. I'm going to read part of this from the Revised Version because there's an emphasis that I'd like to make. Verse 29. And when the people were gathered together, he began to say, This generation is an evil generation. They seek a sign. And there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites, so shall the Son of Man be to this generation. Verse 32. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Now we have discussed at some length verse 32, but let us focus our minds on the first section, in particular, this generation. Jesus is no longer speaking to the religious leaders of his day. He is talking to the common people, primarily to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, as styled in the New Testament. Jesus says to them, this generation is an evil generation. For, verse 30, as Jonah was assigned to the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. In other words, the people to whom he was speaking. Jonah was assigned to the Ninevites, and the Ninevites were Gentiles. Jesus was then to be assigned to the Jews. The Gentiles repented at the preaching of Jonah. And so Jesus, in effect, saying that the Gentiles are to repent at my preaching, but the Jews were to reject the preaching of Jesus. Now, whilst earlier on, in the first two occasions, Jesus had drawn from the book of Jonah his rejection by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, here he speaks of his rejection by the people. And that's exactly how it happened. The high priest said, "It is expedient that one man should die for the nation." The high priest tore his clothes and said, "This man hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy. What think ye?" And the clergy replied, "He is worthy of death." That's the order. It was first the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin. And then the people. His people. The people that followed him. In the crowd, perhaps there were those who'd been healed of their blindness, of their dumbness, maybe of a withered hand. Maybe in the crowd there were even those who had had their dead raised to life again. Maybe those who had just followed him along those dusty paths in Judea. But they said, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" They said, "We have no king but Caesar." They said, "His blood be on us and upon our children." And so it was. His blood was upon them and upon their children. 40 years later, the Roman legions were to come down upon Jerusalem. They besieged it from the north under Titus. The siege took approximately 4 years, and during that time, nobody went in or out of Jerusalem. Those people who tried to escape were caught and killed. Over 1 million people died in that siege. The temple was destroyed. The city laid waste. Now hear the echo of the preaching of the prophet Jonah. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Yet 40 days. It was as if Jesus were saying, yet 40 years and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, will be overthrown, and there will not be one stone standing upon another that shall not be thrown down. And so we find point six, the Jewish rejection of Jesus, the people, and then finally the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. All these points are related to the sign of the prophet Jonah. So Jesus said, this generation is an evil generation. They seek a sign. Sure, we say, sitting here tonight, 1983, comfortable in these beautiful chairs in this hall. Sure, we say, that generation was an evil generation. They sought after a sign. But let's be honest with ourselves. How about us? Do we ever ask for a sign? What makes us so different from them? Has human nature changed that much? How often haven't we asked for a sign from heaven? A miracle. How often have we not asked for a sign when somebody is chronically ill? I'm not saying that we shouldn't. But how many times? When the larder is low and there's no money in the bank and we don't know when our last meal is coming from. Or perhaps we're a little bolder. Perhaps when we went to that revival meeting, we wanted to sit right up front so that we could see with our very eyes the miracle or the intended miracle performed. And so Jesus says, this generation is an evil generation, and they seek a sign. But there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. No sign? That was the greatest sign that God could ever give anybody. The sign of the prophet Jonah. It was the sign of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the first begotten from the dead, to die no more. It was the sign of a new beginning. It was the sign of a new creation, like the dove that returned to Noah with an olive leaf in its beak. And it was the sign of a new creation, because the first earth perished by water, and the dove with its precious cargo was a sign of the new world, a new beginning, a new creation. No wonder the prophet's name was Jonah. No wonder his name meant dove. He was the sign of a new beginning, a new creation. Not only that, bound up in the sign of the prophet Jonah was the promises made to the patriarchs, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, saying, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Not only the Jews. The Jews only were not going to receive a blessing in Abraham. But all nations, that's Jews and Gentiles, Ninevites included. Here we are told emphatically that the Gentiles were to receive a blessing in Abraham. Why? Because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Because the Gentiles were to repent at the preaching of Jesus. I bring you finally to Acts chapter 17. Because the question that we all have to ask ourselves is, are we going to repent at the preaching of Jesus? Are we going to turn around? Because that's what repent means. Am I going to carry on doing my own thing? Or am I going to turn around and follow Jesus? Because if we follow the preaching of Jesus, by God's grace, we too shall experience the sign of the prophet Jonah. We too shall experience the resurrection from the dead, to die no more, raised incorruptible, to live forever in a world filled with God's glory as the waters cover the sea. For to repent at the preaching of Jesus is to be assured of that promise. God guarantees it. The resurrection is His stamp of assurity that as He did it for Jesus, so He will do it for us. Verse 30 of Acts 17. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth He all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men. That's it. He has given assurance to you and to me, in that He raised Him, that's Jesus, from the dead. Now, when they had heard this, when they had heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Howbeit certain men clave unto Him and believed. We have three classes of people there. Three classes. There will always be those who mock. Always. And 9 times out of 10 they will be in the majority. There will always be those who sit on the fence, hoping and praying never to have to make a decision. We will hear thee again of this matter. But then there are those that believed. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. There are those who repented. They believed, and as Jonah was, baptized. They are baptized into Jesus Christ. The question that you have to ask yourself is, which one are you?